Colossians chapter 1, and we shall begin at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're ending our reading at verse 14, and we know that God will bless to us this portion of his divine word. Shall we bow together in prayer and ask for the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of his word? Our gracious God and our Father, we give thee thanks and praise this evening for the blessed word of our blessed God. We thank thee for this word that is infallible. We thank thee, O God, that this word is inspired. We rejoice, our Father, tonight that this word is unchanging. We bless thee as the infallible word of an infallible God and the unchanging word of the unchanging God. And our Father, we pray that it might come to our hearts afresh this evening. May it be an encouragement to us. Lord, help us that we might be so rooted and grounded in the word of God and built up into Jesus Christ. And Father, bless thy word this evening to every hearing heart. We pray that open our hearts to receive it. And if any are not saved in our service, we pray that thou would lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, our God and Father, bless the preaching of thy word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight I want to speak on these verses of Scripture and to call them the ladder of grace, particularly from verse 9 to verse 14. Here we have the ladder of grace described for us by the Apostle Paul. It is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. And I believe it is appropriate for our occasion here tonight, because as we leave the fellowship here this week, it is with the prayer in our hearts that God would continue his blessing upon the work of God in this part of the vineyard, that you might know the riches of his grace poured down from heaven, and you might know him meeting and supplying every need for the days to come. Paul's letters are so much alive today. They're so appropriate for our own situation. They're just as much alive and they're as appropriate today as they were in the days in which they were read in the churches of Asia Minor. And why is it that these letters still live? They're inspired of God. It's God's unfailing and unchanging word. And it's His word for the church today. And I trust as we look at these verses from 9 to 14, that the Lord will bless our hearts and He will encourage us. You will notice that in this ladder of grace, the Apostle Paul starts at the top. He begins, as it were, from heaven, and he descends that ladder to earth. I am going to begin at the end of this portion and start at the bottom, and I trust we'll climb the ladder of grace this evening. First of all, if you look at verse 14, we read these words, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Here we have, first of all, forgiveness. In the very last part of verse 14, even the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is the first blessing that God offers to man. Although many think in their ignorance that this is the last benefit that they can get from God, some people believe that we can only get forgiveness in our dying hour, or when we pass through the veil of death. And I believe that this is one of the main teachings of the Church of Rome today, when there is so much lack of assurance amongst those people, because they do not know, nor do they preach, forgiveness of sins. And of course, on their dying bed, they have got to be anointed for dying. Otherwise, years in purgatory will be prolonged. And it is accounted a great sin of presumption to know or to have assurance that one is going to heaven. Thus, they can never have assurance, or they can never grasp the blessing of forgiveness of sins. But praise God tonight that in the light of Scripture truth, and in the light of the great truths that have been revealed to us again at the Protestant Reformation, for which we make no apology, thank God we begin the ladder of grace through the great blessing of forgiveness of sins. And I trust tonight that we have been to Calvary for forgiveness, that we have been to the cross of Christ and smote upon our breasts like the publican, ask God's mercy, God's pardon, and God's forgiveness for all our sin. We thank God that we can sing, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." Oh, have you been to Calvary for the cleansing power? Have you been there for forgiveness? And are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The Apostle Paul did not treat this as a sin of presumption. No, the Apostle Paul preached this great truth of forgiveness so that men and women might have assurance that their sins are gone. Gone forever, as far as the east is from the west, into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Praise God, He has promised that your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. And surely the Lord's commissioned the Apostle Paul as He turned him to the Gentiles. He sent him to open their eyes, to bring them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all them that are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. What a glorious blessing. What a glorious first step on the ladder of grace. Forgiveness. Do you know forgiveness? Have you met Jesus Christ face to face and realized, as you saw the sinless, spotless Son of God, that you're a condemned, guilty, hell-deserving sinner? And that apart from the grace of God in your heart and the knowledge of sins forgiven, you'll never reach the pearly gates, never mind walking the golden streets of heaven. Oh, may it be that you'll come to Jesus. Until we have received forgiveness of sins, we have not advanced one step heavenward, one step towards that great city of light. You need forgiveness of sins. And we rejoice tonight that so many in this service, I trust all of us, have received forgiveness of sins. We have taken that step under the first ladder, and we're rising daily towards heaven, further and further away from the grips and dens of sin, closer to the precious Savior Himself. The first round on the ladder is forgiveness. Have you forgiveness tonight? You remember your sin, you recall perhaps tonight those sins which bring pain to your heart, to your breast. But there's forgiveness tonight. Perhaps you've wronged someone and they haven't forgiven you. And you realize the pain of being unforgiven. But my God's not like that. Oh, we have wronged the Lord. We have sinned against Him. We've rebelled. We have discarded His very law. We have refused His love. But God is merciful. And those of us who reach out in faith to receive His pardon and forgiveness, He gives it fully. He doesn't give half measures. Oh, He'll wash us in His own cleansing blood. And we praise the Lord tonight that there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And then we move backward in these verses of Scripture, but as I believe we're moving up the ladder, the next round on the ladder is redemption. Look at verse 14 in the first part of the verse. In whom we have redemption through His blood. We have redemption through the blood of Christ. What does it mean to redeem? To redeem means to buy back. To buy back. We are God's by right of creation. The Shorter Catechism tells us that we were created for the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But because of sin, through disobedience, man became a sinner and a rebel. But God did not leave him to perish in that estate. Out of His mere good pleasure, He has elected some to everlasting life and to enter into a covenant of grace, to deliver them out of a state of sin and misery, to bring them into a state of salvation by a Redeemer. We rejoice tonight that there is grace for every man and woman in this church who will look to Jesus Christ. They'll find pardon and forgiveness and redemption through the precious blood that was shed in Calvary. Yes, we're His by right of creation, but we're twice His because we're bought with precious blood. We're His by right of redemption. We're bought back again from the slave market of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ has come down into the very slave market, and He has viewed us there on the slave bench as we've been sold to the devil, as we've been sold out to all eternity to be lost. And there the Lord Jesus Christ came right down to where we are, and He paid the price to release the sinner. And He has brought us back from hell, brought us back from slavery and sin. He paid the price not to Satan, not to the demons in the pit, but He paid the price to satisfy the divine justice of His heavenly Father, because God's justice required satisfaction for sin. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy and spotless Redeemer, the substitute of man who took our place at Calvary, has paid it all, and all to Him we owe. Sin did leave a crimson stain. Praise God, He washes whiter than the snow. We have redemption through His blood, and that blood is powerful tonight. There's power in Jesus' blood to save the world. There's power in Jesus' blood to save you. Oh, there's power, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. And tonight we have redemption through that blood. That's how, in the Old Testament sacrifices, the blood was shed. and redemption was effected through the shed blood. Even in the Passover celebration, when the children of Israel were being brought out of Egypt, they were redeemed from the cruelty and slavery and bondage of Egypt through the shedding of the precious blood of the Lamb. The blood was sprinkled on the doorposts and on the door lintel, and all those who entered in through the door were safe when the destroying death angel smote Egypt on that death night, on that doomsday situation. All who were under the blood were saved. They were spared. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you entered in through the precious blood? Have you not entered in through the precious blood tonight? You're exposed to all the wrath and curse and judgment of Almighty God. And when his death angel passes by, that angel of destruction and eternal woe, then you'll not escape. Because the Bible asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escape. There's no answer given in the Bible, simply because there's no escape. And friend, tonight there's redemption through the precious blood. Oh, we've been selling ourselves out to the devil. If you're not saved, you've become a slave of the devil. But praise God, Christ, having redeemed us by the precious blood, he claims us as his own. Oh, are you claiming him as yours tonight? Do you know him? Have you been redeemed? Do you know the power of the blood in your life? Are you covered in the blood of the Lamb? We have here forgiveness. We have redemption. And then we have in verse 13, the latter part of that verse, we have translation. Because it says here, we're translated, he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, it's only the redeemed ones of Christ that can be brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, the process of this translating is a mystery. We don't understand it. And I don't claim to be able to expound it tonight. There is nothing like it in nature as far as we know. There's nothing to compare with it. There's no passing as far as nature is concerned from one kingdom to another. Unless perhaps you give way to the evil theories of evolution. But there is no mineral ever becomes a vegetable. There's no animal ever becomes a mineral. No, there's no such thing. There's no passing, but my, the great translating work of the Spirit of God is a mystery. We don't understand it, but it works, it happens. And my, when we're forgiven and redeemed by precious blood, God takes this sinner, he takes this mortal of clay, and I am translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What a wonderful grace that we have from God. What a marvelous salvation we've got. By grace, God can take the sinner and he can translate him into a saint. Thank God you can be brought out of nature's darkness into the light of the glorious kingdom of God. And it can happen in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, as you put your trust and your faith savingly in Jesus Christ. Tell me, have you been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son? That, I believe, is what Paul was sent to do among the Gentiles. To preach the gospel, to bring them out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, have you been enlightened? Have you been brought up out of the mire and the clay? And your feet firmly planted and placed upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And he doesn't leave us there. He puts a new song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. And the evidence of your redemption and forgiveness and translation will be in these lines. Many shall see it and shall fear and rely on the Lord. You know, if people don't see the new birth operating in your life, if people don't see the evidences of a man who professes to be saved and he's not showing forth the fruits of salvation, then there is something wrong, because God puts a new song in our mouth. Many shall see it and shall rely on the Lord, or shall fear the Lord. Oh, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, not your good works to save you, but your good works following salvation, pointing men and women to Jesus Christ. Oh, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then the next round or step on the ladder of grace that we have in this prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church at Corinth, at Colossae, is found in verse 13 again, the beginning of that verse. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" We're delivered from the power of darkness. What a wonderful thing to know. Sin is like a mighty vampire that has spread its darkening wings over the minds and the souls of men. And how it holds men in its grip, and it separates them from God. And spiritually, they are darkened, and they're living in the darkness of sin. Just become stone hard against the things of the gospel. And many tonight have been enveloped in misery and in sin because of the power of darkness. Many have been gripped by the vices of evil and sin. Oh, we heard a testimony a few weeks ago of how a man can be gripped and chained by the powers of darkness. But praise God, there's a mighty deliverer. There is a Joshua of the New Testament, and his name is Jesus. And he's the mighty conqueror, and he delivers men from sin. God delivers us by opening our eyes, by opening the eyes of our understanding, and planting our feet upon the rock. Oh, may it be that this will be done in some soul tonight, that you'll be delivered. You find some habit, some sinful chain of habits perhaps, and it's totally impossible to break with them. Jesus Christ, he breaks every chain, and he gives us the victory again and again. Oh, he's the mighty victor of Calvary, conquered Satan, conquered death, conquered the grave, and he has led captivity captive, those who are held in captivity by the devil. My, he has led them out into liberty and freedom. And surely that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do, to preach liberty to the captives and to set into freedom those that are bound. If you're bound by the slavery of sin or the devil tonight, praise God, you can be delivered. There's delivering power in the blood of the Lamb. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then still going backwards to verse 12, we have fifthly, in this verse 12, we are partakers, made partakers of the inheritance in the saints. Partakers, not purchasers. Many people like to buy salvation. Some people like to think they can merit salvation. We are partakers, not purchasers or meritors, because it can never be received in any other way. There was a day in England when one of the kings called the nobles together, and he asked them, by what title did they hold their lands and properties? And these nobles had their swords with them, and immediately they raised their swords in the air and they flashed their swords in the noonday sun and they began to sparkle. Then they replied, by these we won our land and by these we shall hope to maintain it. It's not so with the kingdom of God. We don't have to fight to get into the kingdom of God. We don't have to buy our way in. We don't come in any other way but simply through the pathway of repentance and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us partakers of the inheritance in the saints. We didn't buy this glorious inheritance. We have an inheritance that is undefiled and that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for us. I didn't purchase it. God gave it to me when I was saved as a boy. And it's mine ever since. And I will never lose it. May God keep me faithful as I look to him until my race is run. Praise God. When I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll be going down through that great corridor into eternity. And I'll be entering into the fullness of that inheritance. It's already mine in Christ. Because we're heirs with, joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs with Him. And oh, may it be tonight that you'll be made a partaker of that glorious inheritance in the saints. That glorious inheritance that God gives to those who trust Him. He gives to them everlasting life. A place in His eternal kingdom. In my Father's house there are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, many try to win this inheritance by laboring for it. They try it by perhaps riding on the back of the church. Riding in the church with a Bible under their arm. Or with the confession or creed of that particular denomination and saying, this is my passport. This is my title deed to my inheritance. But it's nothing of the kind. The only title deed we have got is the blood of Christ. The only title deed we have got is redemption through the blood of the Lamb. The one who was sacrificed for us. Any other title deed is a false one. It's got a false signature and will let us down and will not stand in the day of testing and the day of judgment. Oh, may it be we will be in partakers of the inheritance of the saints. And let us go forward to triumph in His name, overcoming daily by the Savior's blood. But then in verse 11, we are told that we're strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Yes, the next step in the ladder is strengthening. We become strengthened. This word reminds us that we are still in a place of weakness. Oh yes, we're working and we're in warfare. But this verse suggests to us sufficiency for all our need. Suggests to us that the Lord will make us more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Strengthened with all might. The Bible says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Oh, here we have the power of God strengthened with all might in the inner man. Surely when the days become fierce and the trials become sore and pressing upon us, God does something to us. We're strengthened with all might. Where does this all might come from? It comes from God, our Heavenly Father, who is almighty. Oh, the almightiness of God is at our disposal when we're weak. My, when we're fainting, when we're downcast, the almightiness of the Lord is at our disposal to raise us up, to lift us up, and to keep us up. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We'll need patience in this race. We need to be long-suffering. Many are the trials. Many are the difficulties. Many an obstacle we have to face. And we need patience. We need long-suffering. But we can have patience and long-suffering as we face all the trials. We can also have joyfulness. Oh, praise God that in whatsoever situation we find ourselves, Paul says, therewith be content. May it be that God will give us a contented mind, a contented heart, a contented spirit, that we'll rest in the all-sufficiency of God's supply and of the mightiness of God, knowing that He never fails. When Jesus Christ faced the greatest enemy we've got and defeated Him, and we're in Christ, then we have got victory through our mighty Captain, the one who goeth before us, the one who leads us into battle, and the one who brings us forth from the battle, the precious Savior, strengthened with all might by the mighty working power of God. But then if you go back to verse 10, the next step in this great ladder of Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae is found in this 10th verse, and it is fruitfulness, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitful in every good work. That's something that we should always seek to abound in. May the grace of God abound in us so much that we'll be fruitful. We did a study on Psalm 1 some weeks ago. Oh, may it be that we'll be fruitful like the tree planted in Psalm 1 by the rivers of water. May we draw daily from Him if we want to have a truly successful life. Surely then we must come to this 10th verse of this first chapter and walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The work of Christ has brought the work of Christ on Calvary's cross has brought the possibility of a truly successful life within the reach and the grasp of every child of His. You and I can be truly fruitful through the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. The man who goes out to his garden and plants rotten potatoes, he can't expect a harvest of good ones to follow. And so the redeemed life should be fruitful in every good work. Oh, it should be evident through the works that he's bearing fruit. We should consider John chapter 15 in this connection. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done of my Father unto you. Praise God tonight. The great possibilities that are ours in Jesus Christ. Nothing impossible with Him. He's our great God. Let us walk worthy of the Lord. As we walk in this sinful world, let us walk a separated life. Separate from sin, from the ways of worldliness. Unto all pleasing unto the Lord. That we may bear forth the fruits of godliness. With patience and long-suffering. And with joyfulness. And then last of all, we have here in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lastly, we have the step of being filled with the knowledge of God's will. Are you seeking God's will? I trust you begin where Paul began. Take this ladder, start upon earth and start to climb. And when you reach this last step that we have reached tonight, you'll know God's will. God's will be revealed to you. This implies walking in the light and rejoicing in the Lord, in the certainty of His word. The higher we climb in spiritual experience, the clearer God's will become to us. The clearer the air becomes, the more we're taken away from the grime and filth of earth. Many never seem to get out of cloud land. They live there continually, groping about in the darkness, not knowing what is God's will. I wonder tonight how many in this church have started on this ladder of grace, on this ladder of life. You want to climb to know the will of God. You must have forgiveness of sins. You must know redemption through His precious blood. You must have be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of God's dear Son. You must know deliverance from the power of darkness and be a partaker of the inheritance in the saints. Be strengthened with all spiritual might in Jesus Christ. Become fruitful unto every good work. And then, praise God, you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt the blessed will of the Lord for days to come. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And in this closing verse tonight, we want to say this will be the thoughts in our hearts as we leave. We'll pray for the work here in Greenville. We trust that you'll pray for us, that all together we may be like Paul and have the desire that Paul had for the church at Colossae, that they might know, that they might desire, that our desire might be that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual understanding. Given spiritual discretion, spiritual wisdom for coming days. We need it. I need it. You need it. Let this be our prayer tonight. Let this be our ambition. Let this be the call of our hearts and the united cry of our soul, that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I believe that that's our desire. And that's the way we leave ourselves before God. God is faithful. He never changes. And God will meet. God will supply. God will do that which is beneficial, that which is good for us. God will do that which is exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think. And praise God, will know the blessing that maketh rich, and to which no sorrow is added. May the Lord bless our meditation upon His word tonight. May He lead us all to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving faith. And having been there, may He lead us up the ladder of grace, we might know His clear will, His perfect plan and purpose, and go through with Him and praise Him day by day. May the Lord bless His word to every soul, for Jesus' sake. Amen.